And we're getting, we're a little bit behind because I got talking with Ross and all of a sudden we had to be reminded what we're doing here this morning. So this morning we have a guest speaker. This is Ross Regan. He is here with the Pregnancy Help Center. And I'm going to let him share more about that with us. And he's going to give you a time for questions and to answer in that. But let's pray before we get started this morning. Father, we thank you that we are able to come into your presence this morning, that you are with us. You said where two or three are gathered, you'd be a part of us. We thank you you're here not only within this congregation, but within each of our hearts. Lord, we thank you for Ross and the passion he has for the things you've called him to. And as he shares this morning, we pray that our hearts will be tender towards your heart, Lord, and tender towards this ministry and this opportunity. Again, we thank you. We pray that you would be glorified in all that is said and done this morning. And as Ross comes to share, that your blessing, that your presence, Holy Spirit, upon him and within him, will bring forth the word that you'd have him share. And again, we give you glory, honor, and praise, Lord Jesus, and all that is said and done here this morning. Amen. So Ross, come on up. And again, we want to thank you for being a part of us. I've met Ross a couple of times and talked to him on the phone and was able to be a part of the fundraiser a couple of weeks ago. And there's many of us that have the same heart that he has, that we need to speak to an issue that's quite big in our culture, and that is the idea of when life starts and when do we start protecting life. And so, Ross, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay.
Bless you, brother, as you share.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Shannon. As Shannon mentioned, my name is Ross, and I first want to thank Pastor Shannon for inviting me to come and speak, and thank you all for allowing me to be here. It's a pleasure. And let's give praise to God, because I've been a Christian for about 40 years in March. I was 31 when I was called by God. And when I am in a new church or meeting Christians, they just feel like brothers and sisters to me, because we have that bond of the Holy Spirit. And it's something the world out there just doesn't get. But, you know, we pray for those that aren't there yet, and we pray that they will someday kneel to God. And I know we all have family, most of us, that maybe aren't following God, so our prayers always go out for that. I'm here to speak about the Camrose Pregnancy Care Center here in Camrose. And I'll just give you a quick backstory here. I'd been a Christian for 25 years. I'm just sharing this with Pastor Shannon. So in about 2010, I hadn't really, you know, I'd served teaching Sunday school and was, I following God. But I'll just use the word, the pro-life issues that go on in society hadn't really been an issue with me. I hadn't met anybody that had an abortion or had, were pregnant at, say, 16 or 17 years old. So it was nothing in my life. I had three boys. I've been married for 47 years now. So there was nothing in my life at that time, but something, I don't know if there was a sermon I heard, I don't remember. I do remember reading John Piper's book about Don't Waste Your Life, about doing something bigger than just you. In other words, you know, your personal goals or your finances or your vacation, whatever, your material stuff. There's something more. And it something happened. I don't know if I heard a sermon, I just don't remember, but it struck me about what's going on in our culture with babies being aborted on demand. And it's not, when we talk to people who don't know God, we very gentle the way that we talk, because it's such a divisive issue. But it's also, I spoke to a woman the other day, and it's the elephant in the room, right, that we don't want to acknowledge that there's a issue going on. So through Scripture, and I did share this again with Pastor Shannon, I don't have any special revelation. God didn't speak to me personally. I just, through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit enlightening me, that God must hate this. And God must have empathy for these not always not so young women, but women that become pregnant, didn't mean to get pregnant, but they became pregnant through actions of their own, but however are suffering through this issue. And so I thought, wow, this was kind of overwhelming for me, and I kind of let it go for a few weeks. And then, God, the Holy Spirit reminded me, you had this issue that I put before you. What are you going to do about it? So I was in Vancouver at the time. I volunteered. A friend of ours in who actually attended Bible study in our home was the director in Coquitlam, BC, which is just outside of Vancouver, of a pregnancy care center called Pregnancy Concerns, and she was the director. And so I said, look, this is what God's put on my heart. What can I do? I mean, I'm a man. I can't counsel anybody. What can I do? She said, well, we have a program that we want to put together to teach sexual integrity to younger people, to teens. And she said, we don't have any program. So I said, well, I could do that. So I actually spent the next year in the center learning because I knew nothing. I had to learn about all the methods of terminating children, what the doctors go through, what the patient or client goes through. I had to learn the whole, and it was not a fun thing to go through, but in order to do something about this, you have to immerse yourself in the culture and find out what's going on. You have to get into the nitty-gritty of it. So after a year, we started presenting these programs to teenagers. Mostly we started in churches, and we would go to a church and the youth groups, and we would basically teach them what a sexual health life looks like from a biblical standard, that you don't have to conform what the world tells you, that there's a different way to live. And myself, because I'm in my 70s now, us of that age can remember a time when there was a little different moral character or fiber in our country than there is now. And we've seen that go a slippery slope downhill. So I spent a couple of years working there. I finally had to move to the interior BC, so I left that behind. So in 2012, I no longer worked in the center, but I thought, well, there's something else I can do. So I started writing letters. I probably ended up writing over 5,000 letters and emails. And a lot of that was to churches across Canada. And that was basically to engage a conversation with pastors and elders to talk to their congregation about this. At that time, there was an MP in Ottawa. His name was Stephen Woodworth. And Stephen Woodworth had brought before the parliament at that time, I think it was 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. Stephen Harper was the prime minister then. He wanted, it was called Motion 312. And Motion 312, all it stated was, we wanted parliament to have a debate about abortion on demand. Not a law, they just wanted to have a debate amongst the parliamentarians, because they knew, certain people like Mr. Woodworth knew the issues that were going on with young women in our country and the tragedies that were happening, and he wanted to bring that to parliament. Unfortunately, it was voted down. He was not allowed to bring that, they were not allowed to debate it. I think a lot of the conservative MPs at the time were nervous about having a pro-life agenda, so to speak. But what I've learned since that time and all these years of writing letters is that this is not a pro-life issue. It's a pro-human issue. It's a pro-woman issue. You know, when I first got into this, I thought, well, God hates, 10 commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill. So you go right back to the basics of Scripture. But it, for me and my education in this whole issue, is that I learned that there's so many victims. And yes, God does not like to see children in the womb murdered. But also I know God has empathy for these people that find themselves in these situations. That God loves them and wants to bring them healing. So the issue for me went from not just from abortion, but I found out all the victims that they have no voice. And I found out that women that find themselves in these situations rarely have a neutral voice to talk to. And even further, they don't have a neutral Christian voice to talk to. So I also learned that women, and this is hard to talk about, but women who have aborted their children, many of them suffer for years, because we know why they suffer, is because God puts that in us, that there's a connection between us, God, and human life. And we know through Scripture that human life is sacred. So it's actually natural for a woman that terminates her child to feel like that, right? It's because it's not a normal thing. And we don't judge. I don't judge anybody. That's between them and God. However, I just thought, okay, this issue, as I got on the years, is way deeper than what my first initial looking at it was. So up until 2023, so for nine to 10 years, I wrote thousands of letters. I wrote every MP in Ottawa every once a year. There's 340 MPs. I wrote each one every year, one letter. And I didn't write a letter to them saying, we need legislation to stop this, because I don't believe this is a legislation issue. This is a heart issue. And what I was trying to get across to them is we don't need a law. We need a better way to treat women, right? Men have to be more respectful. So I tried my best to lay out something, not from a fundamentalist point of view, but from a point of view of love, that there's people out there that need help. And our government, I mean, that's part of our government's job, is to help people. And I was surprised at the number of MPs that actually wrote back to me. Even Liberal MPs, whom by years later, when Justin Trudeau was Prime Minister, could never vote for anything positive like this. But they wrote me back saying, I understand what you're talking about. Many of them, I know Anthony Housefather, he's an MP, and he has like 5 or 6 children. He told me, he said, I'm going to go talk to our Prime Minister about this. I don't know what he did. That's not the point. The point is there's many MPs that have a real heart for this and realize there's a problem in our society. So I was really surprised. And what surprised me more is the 6 to 7, I can't remember, 100 churches I wrote to, I hardly got a response. I had one pastor write back to me saying, don't ever contact me again about this issue. And, I mean, I can't judge that. I have no idea. All I know is this is a contentious issue. And when you bring it up, you'll get an opinion from somebody. It may not be the opinion you want to hear, but you'll get an opinion. So I was confused. I'm still confused on that response. So actually, at some point about 4 years ago, I stopped writing to churches because I just couldn't get any traction. But I got actually more traction from MPs. Arnold Viersen is an MP in the Barrhead area, who's very passionate about helping women and helping these unborn children. In fact, he has prayer groups of MPs in Ottawa. In 2022, I was able to do a Zoom call with him and a bunch of some other MPs, and they were having, I just watched, I didn't participate, and they were talking about how in Ottawa, how they are still working constantly, weekly, on trying to make this issue, bring it forward. But unfortunately, I guess in Ottawa, it's the old term, it's political suicide to get too attached to this issue, because the media and all the political machine will say all they're interested in is pro-life. They want to control women's bodies, and you know the narrative goes on and on and on and on like that. So, but I can assure you right now, there are MPs in Ottawa that care about this, and so it's not like it's a dead issue. And at some point, I believe, it may not be in my lifetime, but I believe God will use our politicians and our leaders in our country to move this agenda forward to help women that find themselves, and men, in this position. So in 2023, I thought, I had been doing this for a while now, and I thought, there's something more I can do. So I had thought for years of what, you know, I can pray about it, and I can write letters, and that's all good stuff. But I knew there's still women out there who are victims of this, and I know there's unborn children who are victims of this. So I thought, well, I read about pregnancy care centers, and I had worked in one, but I didn't thought, because I'm a man, I thought I can't, because men don't work in centers. It's women only. So I knew I could never get involved in that end of it. But I thought, well, Camrose, you know, I'd moved here in 2021 after COVID and during COVID. Anyway, I thought, this looks like it would be a good town. There's good, solid people here. I'd met a lot of good, solid Christians. I attend Rose City Baptist Church here in town. And I thought, we could start a pregnancy care center here. So in 2023, I did my research, and I found out Pregnancy Care Canada is an organization. They're Christian-based organizations, solid from the bottom up. Their mandate is to be obedient to Christ and to do his work. So they now have 81 centers across Canada. The actual Pregnancy Care Canada group itself has been going since 1997. And right now they're run by a woman, her name is Dr. Laura Lewis. And Dr. Lewis is a Christian, and she spent 22 years in practice, general practice. And it was an issue for her. She would have women come into her office pregnant at 17, 18, whatever, 25, and she didn't know how to counsel them. She said, I was a Christian, I was a doctor, and I had no idea how to reach out to these women. So she felt the void that she would send women away, not giving them what they needed, the help that they needed. They just needed someone to talk to is all they needed. Yes. No, she's not. You know what? Leslyn Lewis, who is a wonderful Christian woman. Absolutely. Who I would love to see as prime minister myself, but that's a political issue. So, but no, doctor, no. Good point. So Dr. Lewis, she gave up her medical practice years ago and is now in the CEO of Pregnancy Care Canada. And I can guarantee you she doesn't make the money she made as a doctor because she's working for a charity now. However, she is fulfilling the mission that God gave her. So Dr. Lewis oversees all of Pregnancy Care Canada. So basically in 2023, I thought, wow, there is an organization that I did some vetting myself before I wanted to get involved with them. And I found out every Christian core principle, what they believe in, script, right? So I thought, okay, because I don't know how to start a pregnancy care center, So I teamed up with them and I started taking training. So that's actually just about two years ago right now, I started that. And their model for success for starting a center is building from the ground up. In other words, I had to start doing I've done 9 modules in like a stack of lessons like this, because you have to be immersed in the culture. You have to know how to speak about it. You have to know really the ins and outs, because people will come and ask you questions and you need to be prepared to answer that. You have to be equipped. It's no different than Pastor Shannon preaching scripture without learning the Bible, right? So I had to learn how they talk, because they've been doing this for years and they know what works and they know what doesn't work. And the ultimate thing they want to do is they want to reach out to women with love, with compassion, and with fact-based evidence. In other words, they are not out to coerce anybody. And I really like that approach. And I really believe that's the approach that Jesus Christ used, that he would tell somebody the truth, right, and guide them in that way. Christ never forced anybody to be a believer, right? That was the work, the Holy Spirit did that. He did it through love and compassion. And that's basically the process that Pregnancy Care Canada. So I really like that approach. We know in our culture that abortion is legal. Women are free to do what they want legally. But what we found out, and I found out through this process, is most women who find themselves in this situation just don't have, as I mentioned earlier, a neutral, fact-based voice to listen to. So through God's help, absolutely through God's help, everything here has been directed by God, that he brought 4 other women onto a steering committee with myself. My wife is not part of it, because when you're in a committee like that, you can't have relatives or people. You need to be at an arm's length. So there was 4 other women, and myself started a steering committee. And these were all women that had a heart for this issue too. And one of them had worked in Red Deer at a pregnancy care center. So we set out, and I said, you know, you want to come on board, that's an answer to prayer. However, this is the training. So they went through their modules, did their training. Now, one of the biggest obstacles is getting out and talking to people about this, because there's, as I say, some churches don't want to discuss this. So one of the obstacles to starting a center is it costs money, right? Nothing in our culture comes free. So we set out through our training in Pregnancy Care Canada how to do fundraising. And as some of you were at our event on May 9th, we thought maybe 250 people. We were hoping the Lord would bring that out, and the Lord brought out 327 people. That far exceeded our expectations. And what that showed to me is, it showed to me, and not everybody in that room are Christians or people that attend church. Some I know weren't, but people have a heart for this. And it's not something that, I mean, I've been going to church for 40 years now. I've never heard one sermon on this, not one. And I think again, it's tough to talk about. It's tough not to offend people. But however, I believe God wants us to do something about this. You know, I can't help but think there's been things in the past where we've turned a blind eye. In fact, in 1970, 71, when Roe v. Wade was passed, I read a fascinating book by Dr. Bernard Nathanson. And Dr. Bernard Nathanson was one of the lead proponents of pushing abortion in the United States and getting the Supreme Court in 1970 to pass Roe v. Wade, which basically opened up the floodgates for anyone to have an abortion basically anywhere in the United States. And what they did was they used the tactics, they lied. They talked about, because Dr. Nathanson himself, this is hard to understand, Dr. Nathanson himself had performed 75,000 abortions, including one on his own child. This is the kind of man he was. But fast forward, this man became a Christian. God got a hold of his heart. And he recanted of what they had done. But by then, this is like 2-3 years after Roe v. Wade passed in the Supreme Court. So this is where it started. The main, abortion has been around since the time of the Bible, but this is when the big push happened in the early 1970s, late 60s. And here we are today. Most people today, younger people, would just think that having an abortion is just a natural part of our culture. So for us to talk about it, and for us to get a center going, we're pushing against culture. It's difficult because most people, I've talked to Christians. I talked to a person 2 weeks ago who said there's a Christian, which is, I totally believe women should have a choice. And I didn't argue with that. That's not up for me. That's between her and God. And it's not for me to even say what a woman should do. But what I think we can do with a pregnancy care center is have a place where women who seek help have a place to go. So in a center, what happens is there will be a director. There's usually one paid employee, if we can get a center going here. And that this woman will be called the director of pregnancy care director. Under that director, there'll be anywhere from 5 to 7 women who will volunteer their services. And through that training, they will teach women about, I mean, there's only 3 options, right? You can terminate your pregnancy, you can keep your baby, or you can take your baby for an adoption. There's only the 3 issues you can do. So Pregnancy Care Canada has come up with a program that respectfully understands where women are, and they basically want to empower women to make her own decision. We will never say, you should do this, you should do that. That's not what we do. We love them. We give them an ear, a shoulder to lean on. We will provide them with supplies, baby supplies, if they keep their children. We will not arrange an abortion for them. We will not arrange the adoption for them. We will not drive them to the hospital. That's not what our job is. Our job is having a voice for them to come into. through experience, they've learned that, most women that find themselves with an unintended pregnancy get all sorts of biased advice from a spouse, from a boyfriend, from a family member that's one-sided. And through statistics, they know that most women are pushed into their decision. So at Pregnancy Care Canada, they decided there's a better model to do this, right? And they will share the gospel to women on a permission basis. In other words, until they can establish a personal relationship with that client, they will not tell them about Jesus. In fact, they won't tell them about Jesus if they don't want to hear about it. But they're open to be told about it. So if they have a heart for that, they will share the gospel. But it's not something that they will push, right? And that's, again, I think, a biblical example that we need to follow, right? We when we have a neighbor, we can't push our agenda on them, but we can be their friend and we can live our life in light of Christ. And when that opportunity happens to share the gospel, whether it's a family member, we can do that. But you need to have that relationship. And we all know through God, through the Spirit, right? He allows us to understand when the time is right to approach people, when the time is not right. We all know that, wow, I wish I had the wand that could just say, okay, you're saved. That's not the way God does it, is it? Right? He has a plan, and we are just to be the workers in that plan. And we only know that plan through Scripture, right? And each of us, I believe, has a job to do. And again, I refer back to Dr. John Piper and his book that I read years ago about Don't Waste Your Life. And I learned years later, and I had the pleasure of seeing John Piper speak in person at Wilmington Mennonite Church in Burnaby a number of years ago. And this man has an unbelievable heart for women that find themselves pregnant unexpectedly, to the point where in Minneapolis, he got arrested for not protesting, but just being at a certain time in front of an abortion center. But he, if you listen to some of his old sermons, he's very passionate about this and wants Christians to be involved in this issue. Because really, if we don't do this, the world out there is not going to do it. Because they just don't have that compassion and understanding from Christ that it needs for this. I did have a woman, I was very blessed 2 weeks ago to make a presentation to the Rotary Club here in Camrose. Very nice people. And because they do offer funding to organizations. There was three other charities there, and we each had 5 minutes to, which is not a long time, but we had 5 minutes to put our best foot forward, our best case. And in that environment, I couldn't preach the gospel to them, that's for sure, but let them know what we were doing, why we were doing it. And afterwards, one woman came up to me, and it was interesting because after I presented it, all the questions went to the other three charities, because I know this is a contentious issue, particularly when you're dealing with some of these people. They're wonderful people. I'm sure there's people in there that don't know the Lord. I understand that. And nobody was asking me any questions, and that's fine. And all of a sudden, near the end of the Q&A period, all of a sudden I get one question, two questions, and then all of a sudden I get these pointed questions about why are you doing this? Women don't need this. There's other places that women can get this help. So a woman came up to me and said, you know, the primary care network in Camrose can do all the things you're doing. You don't need to do this. She said, I understand how charities work, and you're basically you don't need to do this. So it was interesting, and actually she was being very honest about it, and she wasn't attacking me at all. She was actually trying to help me, and I really appreciate your advice. But Primary Care Network will help out with women who are pregnant, but Primary Care Network and doctors don't have 2 hours, 3-4 hours to sit with a woman. They don't have time, they're not Christian based. They do not have time to address the issues that a lot of these women need. They are not set up to counsel women post-abortive help. They are not set up for that at all. So I really appreciate your advice, but we have two nurses on our steering committee, and we talked to the people at Primary Care Network, and they said, we absolutely need a pregnancy care center in Camrose. We're not set up to do that. So this is not a so much, I mean, Primary Care Network is there for medical reasons. We're there for emotional and educational and support reasons. They're two different. They can work hand in hand. In fact, Primary Care Network said, we'd love to partner with you folks if you can get up and running, because we know there's women that want to come to you and that need help. So I've met many women with the same story that saying, you know, I have a friend, I have a relative that they had no one to go to. If they had something like this pregnancy care center to go to, he said it would have been great. He said they could have made their own well-informed, educated choice. So I understand if you're not a Christian and you look at this issue and you just say, oh, you just want to control women, you just want, it's not that at all. I wouldn't be here today, and Pastor Shannon wouldn't have asked me here today if we knew that God wants us to do something about this. So all we're asking people right now is to talk about it to your friends, because there will be a point in time when we will hope to get funding from church folks and from other people in town. And we thought, man, if we could get $20 a month from every Christian in Camrose, man, we could fund this thing forever. So our goal is not just for tomorrow, it's for, I pray when I'm long gone. There's one woman on our board, and her husband, she's in her 20s, her husband is a doctor in town here. And I said, her name is Grace. I said, Grace, I hope when you're my age, 50 years from now, that this center is still running. Because that's what's happening in Red Deer. They started 45 years ago in Red Deer. Red Deer now has actually a home there and can house 11 women for up to 2 years. So if you go there for support and you decide to keep your child and you have nowhere to go, they will let you in there for 2 years. And they will help you if you want to take educational training, vocational training, whatever. They will help you and assist you with that. So not only do they bring you in and mentor you through their mentor you through your program, they will actually physically help you. And I again believe that's scriptural, right? That it's like the man on the road when everybody passed him by, right? And said, well, that's not my problem. That's somebody else's problem, right? Well, the people at Pregnancy Care Canada look at these women and say, that's our problem too. We want to help these women. So they have enough funding now that they can do that. In Edmonton, again, they've been going for 40 years now, and they gave the statistics of the thousands and thousands of women that they have served. And not every story is a success story, but there's enough success stories in there that they have donors. They have over 3,000 donors on their list in Edmonton now. It's fantastic what they've done. So I believe it's an issue that you're not going to be convinced by me. You're not going to be convinced by Pastor Shannon, but you're going to be convinced by the Holy Spirit and God. Right? He's the one that moves. He's the one that brought people out. We had two cancellations for our event on May 9th. And in short order, God filled in people. Right? Our musicians, Ben and Jessica Crane, who came and performed, were last-minute additions. And our speaker, Melissa shared her story about her abortion, about her drug addiction, and about her conversion to Christ. And that conversion to Christ came through meeting a woman from the Abortion Recovery Center in Edmonton, who met her in a church. God put them together, and young Melissa was, this woman, her name is Debbie, that worked for Abortion Center, it's called ARC, Abortion Recovery Center, could see this woman was troubled. And she just flat out said, did you have an abortion? Well, poor Melissa at this time broke down. Anyway, they developed a relationship. She started coming to the center, and she received the healing through Christ. And it's just amazing to see the turnaround. And again, not every woman will become a Christian. That's up to God. But every woman has the opportunity to hear a voice of love. When I started my training 2 years ago, I was on a Zoom call through a woman in Ontario who worked in Sarnia, and she told me the story of an 80-year-old woman that a couple years ago she met that had come in to the abortion. No, sorry, it wasn't a recovery center. It was just called, I think, the Sarnia Pregnancy Care Center. She came in there still suffering from the guilt from an abortion she had probably 50 years earlier. And they were able to lead her. We know there's healing and forgiveness. There is no sin that any of us have done that Christ cannot forgive. And that's the message of hope. There's a woman by the name of Teresa Burke who is a counselor. She's a Christian Catholic. She started an organization. And she now has recovery retreats for couples to emotionally teach them that you don't have to live with this guilt anymore. That this is the help through Jesus Christ, that you can be relieved of this and you can go out and live a life and know that one day you will be reunited with that child. So it's just a wonderful message. And again, it's a lot for me to give at this time, and I could probably talk for 2 more hours, but I won't. So I see it's almost 22, so I'll leave it there. The only thing I'll tell you is we're hoping in the next 6 to 12 months to actually physically open up a building in Camrose where trained women will work in this building. Women who hear about it on the street, through Facebook, through whatever, will have a place to go and meet a friendly face, someone who understands where they're coming from, and know that anybody who works or is on the board has to go through a rigorous training. They have to agree to these Christian core documents that are everything that you believe in, that are scripturally based. You have to sign this document. We vet people beyond vet people beyond vet them, because we don't want anybody involved in this that isn't a solid Christian and hasn't proved for years that they're service to God. In other words, we don't want anybody in here with an agenda. The only agenda is to spread the love of God, and that's it. And we believe through the Holy Spirit, people will be sensitive to these women, and through their training, they will know how to deal with it. So that's our goal. We will be having more fundraisers in the fall. So we need to solve the financial. When we get that solid financial base, we will open the center and we will start servicing people how I think God wants us to. All right. Okay, well, again, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And just a blessing to be here.
Thank you, Ross, for coming and sharing with us. We really appreciate it.